10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, we have extra big deals for a very limited time, so you can get Dad the gift he's been wishing for. Get a free select Craftsman, DeWalt, or Kobalt battery when you buy a select combo kit. Plus, save $90 on a Kobalt 24-volt battery string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now $129. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Today on The Grave Talks, Phantom Detectives, a conversation with Joshua Chairs, Melissa Ferrazzano, and Rick Warner. Phantom Detectives is a paranormal investigation team founded in 2020 by Joshua Chairs in Wilmington, Delaware. It is a dedicated group on a mission to bring scientific rigor to the mysterious and often misunderstood world of the paranormal. From private home investigations to more well-known locations like the Betsy Ross House, Summerwind Mansion, and the Selma Mansion, Phantom Detectives is on a mission to uncover the truth behind the hauntings. They're dedicated to revealing what lies beyond the veil with professionalism, science, and a commitment to reducing fear of the unexplained. Today, we'll delve into their journey, methods, and some of their most chilling investigations they've undertaken. Today on The Grave Talks, Phantom Detectives, a conversation with Melissa Ferrazzano, psychic medium and case manager, Rick Warner, lead investigator and tech manager, and Joshua Chairs. Now, Joshua Chairs, you are the director and founder of Phantom Detectives. How did you, or why did you decide to start this team?
I obviously always got my start in the supernatural by watching Unsolved Mysteries with the late, great Robert Stack.
Oh, one of mine.
Who was one of the greatest hosts of all time. And of course, In Search Of by Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy played Spock on Star Trek back in the late 1960s. And those shows really helped pioneer me. And there was an episode on Unsolved Mysteries called The Haunting of the General Wayne Inn in Marion Station, Pennsylvania. And the General Wayne Inn is Philadelphia's oldest coaching inn. It dates back to 1704. It used to be called Steeper's Tavern and the Wayside Inn. And in 1792, it was named after Revolutionary War hero, Major General Anthony Wayne, who's possibly related to. And, you know, obviously the inn has faced famous dignitaries like Marquis de Lafayette, Edgar Allan Poe, George Washington, and obviously other famous dignitaries. So a lot of people report in that episode, it covered, how people would see Hessian soldiers in the basement. It also covered how patrons would be sitting at the bar, and obviously some of the women, ghosts would be breathing down their neck. It also covered, suppose there was a valet, who went outside and he saw there was this car that was turned on by itself with no key, all kinds of strange paranormal happenings. And of course, there was supposedly when they would watch the episode of Haunting of Jeremy Way and Unsolved Mysteries on the TV would turn clockwise, counterclockwise. So that episode really led to my start in the paranormal. And then, you know, obviously in the 1990s, I started reading every book on by Dr. Hans Holzer, who was pretty much America's first true paranormal investigator. His tales and his inspiration helped the famous feature film Ghostbusters with obviously, you know, the famous Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson. They pretty much created that movie based on the experiences of Dr. Holzer. And of course, reading, you know, every book on UFOs, you know, by Whitley Strieber, you know, obviously Linda Moulton Howe on crop circles, catamulations. And then around 93, 94, I started listening to this radio voice that said, you know, please call Dreamland with Art Bell. And I was captivated by this amazing voice on AM radio one night. And all of a sudden, I started becoming an avid listener of Art Bell shows. I've listened to hundreds upon hundreds of them, interviewing like Malachi Martin about demonic, you know, possession. Also having him interview Madman Markham on time travel. I mean, Art was really the first true paranormal radio host before it was called paranormal radio host. And then as we got into the early 2000s, like, just you know, we actually had the opportunity to investigate the General Wayne Inn. I took three consecutive photos, and you know, in one of the photos there was green and yellow streaks of light, and I had no reasonable explanation for that. And then around 2004, I went to Westchester University and got my Bachelor of Science in Business Administration in 2008. And then also all the ghost hunting shows started popping up on television, you know. The ghost hunters from the plumbers from Roto-Rooter, who I've known for many years, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson, Steve Gonzalez and Dave Tango. Also, Ghost Adventures 2008 with Zach Baggins and Aaron Goodwin, who I've known those guys for a long time, and Paranormal State with Ryan Buell. I actually have Ryan. It's an old Tri-Field EMF meter, and I know Katrina and Heather very well, been longtime friends with them. So obviously that show came out. So all these shows started popping out on television, and it was really fascinating to see how they would interview clients, how they would set up equipment in locations, and then also, you know, show the results. So it was always a lot of fun. So I would love to let Mr. Rick Warner or Melissa take over next and talk about their background.
Yeah, Rick, you have a really interesting background. And I think like you and I could do an entire episode about UFOs. But you
I'm up for it.
Right.
I'm in.
So yeah. You have you are a certified UFO field investigator.
Yeah.
But how did you become interested in the paranormal? You know, a lot of times the two go together, because I know when I was a kid, I lived in a haunted house, so of course I was interested in that, but it kind of led to an interest in UFOs as well.
Paranormal, you know, covers a broad range of things.
True.
So I've always been captivated in the subject of anything paranormal, you know. I always had questions as to what's out there, you know, what's out there, and anything from spirits in a home or a commercial building, or, you know, work or being around working cases, you know, people that make claims that they saw something, you know, in the night sky and they thought it was something extraterrestrial and things like that.
Have you had actual experiences with paranormal? And I do want to ask you about UFO, but I'm going to ask you about more ghostly spirits first.
You know, different places that I've lived over the time. I mean, and, you know, sometimes certain things can be debunked, you know,
right.
Like let's say you're watching TV and you notice that, you know, it starts shutting itself. The TV turned itself off and then it went back on again. Or there's a light flickering, you know. Sometimes there's certain things that can be caused by, you know, like electrical disturbances, things like that. You know, maybe there's something wrong on the TV internally that's making it turn on and off. Or, you know, blinking lights, you know, maybe it's a light bulb that's getting ready to go out, or there's kind of, you know, there's an electrical issue with the light itself, you know, or, you know, power coming to the light, things like that. Or you hear a sound inside the wall, you know, and think like, okay, there must be a ghost or a spirit or something that's moving around in there, you know, and it could just be like a mouse or a rat, you know, things like that, because they get inside walls and stuff like that. So
before Josh and Melissa joined us, you and I were talking about UFOs, and you actually did have an experience when you were young of seeing something. Could you share that?
Yeah. So this was quite a while back. And, you know, I was a young kid. I was living in Southern California at the time. I'm currently here, out here on the East Coast. And I remember being in the car with my mom, who was the passenger, and this guy friend of hers who was driving the car. And we're driving towards the freeway. You know, like people here on the East Coast, they call it the freeway. They say highway. On the West Coast, we call it the freeway. So I'm heading towards this overpass. It was the 22 freeway that runs east and west. And I see this saucer. This is during the daytime. You know, I'm looking out the window, and all of a sudden I see this thing like kind of like hover ahead over the overpass. And then I'm staring at it, like, and I'm like just in awe, like it's kind of like freaking me out. I'm like, what is this? And then all of a sudden, in a split second, the thing just took off and it was like gone. And my first thing was, well, you know, I definitely don't think it's a man-made object or, you know, any type of, you know, some military or commercial aircraft or anything like that. I mean, because, I mean, you know, we have a lot of technology right now, but I mean, back then, you know, there wasn't that much technology, and, you know, there's nothing that would even fly that fast at the time that we had up in the sky. So all of a sudden the thing is just gone. And I talked to my mom and her friend about it, and they didn't see anything because they were just having a conversation, turning their heads, looking at each other. But it just happened so quick. But I was really reluctant to talk to kids in school about this, because I feared that I would be made fun of, you know, and they would think I'm crazy. They would think I'm crazy, you know, because like I was saying, you know, sharing before that, you know, before man had gone to the moon, if you ever talked about going to the moon, people that would talk about it, people would think you were absolutely nuts.
Well, heck, Rick, there are people today that don't think we went to the moon.
So, yeah, exactly. It's just like, well, you know, they say the earth is round, but when I'm on my boat and I'm looking across the ocean, it looks nice and flat to me.
Right.
Yeah. Now,
and Melissa, you bring something totally different to the table. And I'm really fascinated by people like you. You're a psychic medium and a case manager on the team.
Yes.
When did you find out you had an ability that other people don't have? Because I think when you have it, sometimes you don't even know that it's a special thing, or you might think everyone else has it.
That's so very true. I remember seeing spirits as a very young child. We're talking maybe even as young as 3 years old. And as you said, I didn't realize at the time that this was something different. And I found it to be frightening, of course, as a young child, you know, seeing spirits. And I know it sounds so cliche, because I would see them in the middle of the night. And now that I look back, I always think, well, why is that? Why does that seem to be so typical for a lot of people? And one of the things I can think of is that maybe because the world is a little quieter, your mind is settled, you know, that's a good time for them to reach mm-hmm. out and communicate. And as a very young child, having those experiences, I mean, I certainly didn't welcome them. And, you know, my vocabulary, when I would try to explain this to, you know, my mom and dad, the best way I could describe it is I would use the word monster. And of course, you know, they chalked it up to my imagination. I don't believe they were doing anything wrong. You know, I'm a child, and maybe they just didn't take me seriously back then. I'm grateful for the times we live in now. Now it seems like people are more open and receptive to that sort of thing when their children are having experiences. But maybe it was just the times back then that, you know, it was just easy to chalk it up to a child's imagination.
Right.
So, yeah. But I didn't realize that there was anything different about me having those experiences. And when I look back, I feel that I understood energy more than I realized, because I believe that's what everything really comes down to. That's always the key word is energy. So, yeah, it took me until my adult years to embrace this ability, because for many, many, many years I did not. I wanted it gone, and I was trying to find it.
I could understand that. I want to be like everybody else.
That's right.
Now, now with a lot of people, though, they have that experience as a child, but they kind of lose that ability as they get older. Was that the case at all with you? Did it go away for a while? Did it come back? Have you had to kind of focus differently on it as an adult, or maybe learned how to work with it better as an adult?
I would say I had to learn to work with it better as an adult. And as you were saying, I understand that some people, they seem to lose it as they get older. And there might be some kind of scientific explanation. I have heard a lot about a child's brain development and how something about when they're younger, something with their brains, they are more open to receiving information from the spirit world. And then as they get older, you know, things change and they may not be able to receive it as easily. But what I found with myself is as I grew up and entered my teen years, I believe it was always with me. I just did everything I could to stifle it. Mm-hmm. I ignored it, you know, was just living life, trying to be a normal teenager, but always knew that it was there. It was lurking around the corner. And, you know, I often wonder what my parents thought as I was growing up, because I would describe seeing monsters. And then as a preteen and teenager, I would sleep with the lights on. And if they left the house, and I would turn every light on in the house. So, you know,
I get it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I want to circle back to when we talk about investigations, kind of how you work with that information, because that's when I would find it kind of, in certain situations, maybe a little overwhelming when you go to a place and you're not sure what's there and some of the experiences you might have. So I'm going to circle back to you on that in a few minutes. Okay. Josh, how did you end up putting this team together?
Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into, like, pick up where I left off in college and all that. So in 2014, I was watching an episode called The Haunting of Summerwind on season one, episode 5 on Travel Channel. And I was really fascinated by this house. The Summerwind Mansion was obviously built as West Bay Lake Fishing Lodge in 1914. You could basically stay there for $4.99 a night during that time. It was founded by a man named John Frank, who moved there from Akron, Ohio. He was a traveling merchant. And then Mr. Frank, of course, built the West Bay Lake Fishing Lodge. And then 2 years later, he sold the place to a guy by the name of Robert Patterson Lamont. Mr. Lamont was a bigwig in Washington. He would end up being the future U.S. Secretary of Commerce under President Herbert Hoover. So the Summer Wind episode, of course, documented all these accounts, and supposedly the whole ghost stories around Summer Wind. Mr. Lamont supposedly told, you know, the servants told him, hey, the house is haunted. He's like, hey, why don't you grow up? There's no such thing as ghosts. So he obviously was sitting in the basement door one night, and obviously the ghostly form of a man came out and revealed himself, and he fired two shots, thus missing the ghost and never returning to the mansion. Mr. Lamont died around 1948, and the mansion went to a lady by the name of Lillian Kiefer. Miss Kiefer obviously tried to make a go of the place again, and then over 20 years she would lease it out to people, give it back to them, and then it wasn't until the Henshaw family moved in the summer of 1969 that the paranormal experiences really started increasing. So when the Henshaws first moved into Summer Wind, they had to have it. They thought it could be a great fixer-upper. So during that time period, they started renovating the house, painting it, and all that, and obviously the windows would obviously fly open on their own, and then you know, they would have to nail them shut, and they would start hearing muffled, disembodied voices. A floating lady supposedly that was caught in the kitchen. And also what was most interesting is workers would come work on the mansion, and then obviously tools would, you know, appliances would break down and then start working again. Also, they would have numerous other problems. So obviously the Henshaw family, as time went on, Mr. Henshaw found this crawl space in this hall, basically in this guest room inside Summer Wind. So obviously he sent his 10-year-old daughter April on there, and supposedly, according to the story, she found this skeleton with black hair. And then after she found the skeleton with black hair, she screamed. And of course, obviously, her and her stepdad Arnold, or he had three kids, and obviously April's mom had three kids, like the Brady Bunch family. So obviously, when they found the skeleton, they called the police, and the police came, and there was nothing else found. So according to the story, of course, Mr. Henshaw had his car catch on fire, and then obviously he had you know, other difficult experiences. So basically, after you know, according to the thing, Mr. Henshaw started playing the organ at all hours of the night, and then he ended up you know, obviously Ginger tried committing suicide. So obviously the Henshaws left the place around 73, and then Ginger's father, Raymond von Boger Sr., thought he could make a go of the place again. He was a popcorn vendor from Chicago, and he ran into similar problems that the Henshaws did. Workers would come due to the mansion. They would have appliances break down. They would measure rooms with the blueprints, and according to the rooms would change shape according to the book. And all this is covered in a book called The Carver Effect, A Paranormal Experience, written by Wolfgang von Bober. It was written in 1979, and then you can buy the book still. So what happened was Miss Kiefer, she died around 85, and then the place was bought by Harold and Babs Tracy, who are good friends with my good friend, Wisconsin paranormal investigator Craig Nehring. And so Miss Tracy and Mr. Tracy, when they bought the place, they supposedly walked up to the mansion one night, and they started supposedly seeing the mansion was inhaling. And then what happened was, after they did that, according to Fortune, lightning and fire took down Summer Wind in 1988. So when I come in, I obviously see this haunting episode. I said, hey, why don't I go ahead and do some research on this place. It looks like a cool place to, you know, check out, because I love haunted locations. So I do research, and I find a website called summerwindmansion.com. And I was like, okay, let's go check out this website. And I email the person, and the person turns out to be Raymond von Bober Jr., who was the brother of Ginger Henshaw, and obviously the son of Raymond Sr. And it said blueprints for sale. So I go ahead and purchase the original blueprints to Summer Wind, which were quite hard to get. And then I reach out and I say, okay, now I have these blueprints. Why don't I go ahead and I find a connection to the owners of the property? So on a news feed of Summer Wind on YouTube, I finally said, hey, there's a guy named Craig Nehring from the Fox Valley Ghost Center. He said, I have access to the property. Call me. So we talk, and we found the Summer Wind Restoration Society in 2014 to try to restore or rebuild a mansion. And then in 2015, I had the opportunity to, in 2016, I had the opportunity to work with several of Art Bell's staff members on their radio shows. And I took all those experiences from what I did with the Summer Wind Project and decided, okay, August 2020, we're going to go ahead and find Phantom Detectives. So my whole idea for building this team and building from the ground up was a old 1930s to 1950s comic called The Phantom Detective, which was very popular. I love the name. And of course, watching Sherlock Holmes and Phantom of the Opera, I decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and start building this. So what I did was I got business cards. I had our first 2020 logo made. I set up all the social media pages by myself. I also went ahead and, you know, obviously had started like looking for our first ever team member. So I brought one of my team members over from my old team, and she came in to help me install everything just in the early days we're setting up. So what we did was, after we had the all the social media pages, team email built, I went ahead and started having a website constructed, which is phantomdetectives.org from the ground up. So that was undergoing construction. So what we did was we went to a place called the Selma Mansion, which is in Norristown, Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that later in the episode when we tie Melissa in. And so obviously I had the opportunity to train with Brian J. Cano from The Haunted Collector. And of course, The Haunted Collector is obviously a show very popular with John Zaffis. And obviously I took all that knowledge and we went into a place called the Sanderson Museum. And of course, there, the Sanderson Museum is a pretty amazing historical place. It is obviously actually well known. It's Mr. Sanderson was a musician, poet. He also hosted square dances, a radio show host. So we took all of our knowledge and set up all the equipment in various areas of this museum. And then what we did was we obviously in the violin room, we started picking up apparitions on the violin case. And this was against a solid wall. And then obviously we had this weird thing happen. We're in the violin room. All the EMF meter batteries were drained. At the same time, our security camera was going off. At the same time, we caught this huge colored defined orb with almost looked like a face in it. That was pretty wild. And then, obviously after that, we booked our second investigation at the Mill of Anselma. And this was founded by Samuel Lightfoot in 1747. It's still the oldest continuing operating mill in the United States. And obviously we had this security camera on this door, and this door flew open by itself. We have no reasonable explanation. There was no wind. There was no rain. It was just my former team member. And then we also set up a voice recorder up on the third floor, and we picked up an EVP that said, go, go. So several months later, I decided, okay, I'm going to start adding more to the talent pool. So I went into the UFO world and I decided, you know what, why don't we go ahead and bring in Mr. Rick Warner from the MUFON world. He's certified in, you know, field training. He's also got great knowledge and expertise in interviewing clients, drawing out their stories. He's an expert on, you know, filming. He brought a lot of skills into our talent pool that we did not have. And I thought he'd be a great addition to the team. So I invited him and said, hey, why don't you come to the Betsy Ross house, our third investigation. And there, he joined us, and I would love to have Rick take over and talk about the Betsy Ross house. And as you guys know, in history, that was America's first, the nation's first flag was sewn there in 1776. And I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Warner to talk about Betsy Ross for a little bit.
Well, and I will add that, Rick, you are also the tech manager, lead investigator / tech manager, which, you know, I was looking at the list of equipment that you guys are using now, which probably has evolved since that investigation, but that's a lot of work setting up an investigation.
It is. It's a lot of work. I mean, before you even get there, you know, you're already preparing, you know, you're going through your equipment, making sure that your batteries, anything that's you're putting batteries into, that, you know, it's operational, you know, and you sometimes you need to go through stuff and put in a new 9-volt battery or some AA batteries, or it's something that you need to charge using a USB port on your laptop or in the wall or what have you. So, you know, it takes time, you know, just to get your equipment ready before you go to the investigation. And so between Joshua and I mean, we've definitely spent a great deal of money purchasing equipment to go on investigations. And so we have quite a bit of stuff between the two of us, three of us, I should say.
Back then when you did the Betsy Ross house, which, by the way, I would just love to go in there That's just such a huge part of our American history. But what was that like for you? Was that one of your, had you investigated before?
Well, you know, that was my first time. That was my first time around. So basically what happened was I didn't have much other than like, I had like a 5-gallon bucket with a couple things. You know, I had a digital recorder and a flashlight. And, you know, I really didn't have very much, you know, starting out. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this thing and see if I like getting involved, going on ghost hunts and being a paranormal investigator. And I really didn't know what to expect, because first I thought, like, you know, is something going to grab me and try and pull me down on the floor or push me down the stairs or what have you. It didn't happen that way at all. But, you know, the Betsy Ross house was a very short investigation, because I believe it was only like a 2-hour investigation of time they gave us. And then you got to try to get there early to find parking and downtown Philadelphia, you know, so I think it's in Philly there. But I'll tell you, I mean, you know, I was with one of our ex-members, you know, we were down in the basement, man, and we were asking questions, and we had our digital recorder on conducting an EVP session. We all had our recorders on, and I go back to analyze the audio, took it home, put on my headset, plugged everything in, and I'm hearing this really deep growling sound, right? And I thought, man, I go, you know, is that the wind or something? And I thought, no, that couldn't be, because it doesn't even sound like the wind. It was just kind of like a really deep, evil kind of growl. And it would come in into play on different timestamps during the video. You would hear it. And the people that listen to it, you know, it definitely sounds like something very dark, you know, could be definitely some negative energy there. And I had read before about a mom going in there with her daughter, and she was writing review about Betsy Ross House, and saying that, you know, she could hear some scary sounds and some growling noises and things like that. So it all kind of just made sense to me. Yeah, but, you know, since then, I mean, our team has really evolved quite a bit. I mean, we've had a lot of investigations that we've conducted, and every investigation's different. You're constantly learning. You're constantly improving. You know, that's what we do moving forward. We always try to better ourselves, gain more knowledge, gain more skills, and try and, you know, come up with answers for people that want to know if their place of venue, their house, or their place of business has paranormal activity.
So I take it that worked out pretty well then, because that's been a while back and you guys are still together. Now, was Melissa, was your first investigation, was it the Selma?
Yeah, actually, let's talk about that. I'll lead into that. So basically, after the investigation, we got a guy named Leo Ashcraft from Mutual News. He said, hey, obviously, you know, I work for Art Bell on Midnight in the Desert. I was Art's affiliate director. Would you guys be interested in purchasing Dark Matter News? So obviously, I said, okay, I'll go ahead and make an offer. And we bought the Dark Matter News name. We bought the Dark Matter News logos, the website, everything that was associated with the show, and the audio files that Leo did for Art. And we bought that. Instead of just letting the brand die, we went ahead, bulldozed the original website, and brought it back as a tribute to Art's memory. And obviously, the site looks really great. So obviously, we merged it into Fan and Detective. So obviously, it's become a part of our news division. And then obviously, I got we're doing a place called the Selma Mansion. We went back to that. And obviously, there, the guy named Bill Freeman, who since passed away in April 2022, but 10 months before he passed away, he said, hey, yes, so you guys can come out and do the Selma Mansion. And on one of the Facebook message post boards, obviously I said, hey, Cindy, would you be interested to join us? This, you know, we're talking about Cindy Kaza from the Holzer Files. And I said, unfortunately, she's like, Josh, I'm too busy. I'm sorry. I can't be there to help you during the investigations. But what I can do is introduce you to one of my students, Melissa Ferrazzano.
And I said, oh, heck yeah, I would love to have Melissa. So I reach out to Melissa and I find out she lives in my area. So I said, you know what? Why don't we don't have a psychic medium on Phantom Detectives. So why don't we go ahead and invite Melissa to the Selma Mansion? And obviously, I'll let Melissa take over for your first investigation. Melissa, let's go ahead and talk about the Selma Mansion and your first investigation.
Yes. So that was my very first time doing a paranormal investigation as a medium. So I can remember opening the door to the Selma Mansion and feeling like I was hit by a tidal wave. I guess because the energy is so strong in the mansion, there are a lot of spirits. And I literally had to shut the door, turn around, take some deep breaths, reground, and go back in. And when this happens during investigations, what I've learned from experience is that it doesn't mean that there are negative spirits. It just could mean that there are so many spirits. Mm-hmm. And tuning into so many spirits at once can certainly be overwhelming. So, but I went back in and I took my time. And right away, I remember tuning into a servant who happily greeted me. It was like she wanted to show me around. What I like to do in each investigation is go in there blindly, not knowing anything about the backstory, because therefore, I mean, it's biased, it's tainted. That's the thing that I enjoy the most, is knowing absolutely nothing and seeing if what I'm tuning into matches the history, which I find out later. You know, Joshua's our team historian, so he usually knows the backstory of these places. So, but yes, that will always be a memorable investigation because, again, how strong the energy was. And it was a lesson learned on how to conduct investigations as a medium. To, if I need to step away and reground and regroup and take some deep breaths, I mean, that's totally okay. But to go in and take my time, and a lot of times I'll bring a notebook and pen and I'll jot down what I'm receiving. And that way I won't forget about it later on. Yeah.
How do you get that information? Is it visual? Is it more of, in your mind's eye, you're experiencing it? Is it auditory? A little bit of everything?
A little bit of all of it. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would like to be in your brain for one day just to see what that's like. That would be fascinating. Because one of the, and it might have been the Selma Mansion, because whenever I do an interview, I kind of go in a deep dive, a little rabbit hole. And so one of the places you guys have gone, you mentioned Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And you were experiencing
happened?
Was that this place?
So what happened was Melissa's like, hey, Josh, is there a connection to Abraham Lincoln here? And so I go back and I check the history of the Selma Mansion, and I find out that General Andrew Porter served under George Washington in the Continental Army in the 1776-1777 during the British occupation of Philadelphia. And I find out that General Andrew Porter was like the great-grandfather of Mary Todd Lincoln. So how for Melissa to pick up on that? And then I find out also that Mary Todd Lincoln was known to shop quite often in Philadelphia and stop by the Porter house, her ancestor her home, quite often when she was in Philadelphia. I don't think that nobody would have known that at all, obviously, unless you would check the history. So Melissa was spot on. I mean, obviously, for her to know that, there was no way that she would have obviously picked that up from just, walking in the place.
Because, like, I could see you're going in someplace in Springfield, Illinois, and you're like, I'm picking up on Abraham Lincoln here. Well, of course you are in Springfield, Illinois. But Philadelphia, not necessarily. And I'm a big Abe Lincoln fan. That's why that jumped out to me. I'm like totally in him. I don't have any idea why. But so I found that very interesting.
Yes. Well, what was interesting about it, which was mind-blowing for me, because sometimes I have a hard time trusting what I'm receiving. I often wonder, I'm like, well, is my mind just creating this? Is there really any truth behind it? Is it just my imagination? And this happened a week before we actually went to the Selma Mansion. I was just thinking about the mansion. I was never there. And I just started getting visions of Abraham Lincoln. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's because of that time period. Maybe I'm tuning into a gentleman connected to the mansion that has a similar look. And so when I said to Joshua, I said, you know, I said, something funny is happening. I'm getting visions of Abraham Lincoln when I'm thinking of the Selma Mansion. And he says, no, you're right. I said, well, no, I can't possibly be right. And how can I be right? Because he says, no, he says, you are accurate. And then he explained that to me. And I thought, wow, I thought I need to stop doubting myself. So that will always be a mind-blowing experience because I hadn't even entered the place. And I don't know if that's if that might fall into the realm of remote viewing. I'm really not sure. But yes, that's something I'll never forget.
That's so interesting. And I get why you don't want to have a lot of information before you go in, because you're going to be, you could pick up on a man's energy and go, oh, that must be Mr. So-and-so. But if you don't know, then you're not going in with a bias. So like, Josh, when you go into a location, yes, how much do you want to know?
Well, obviously, as a team historian, like, I research all these locations. I basically have, like, I store it in my long-term memory, and I can pull it out pretty much at will. It's one of my great, obviously, things and attributes that I have. I love to have with Rick and Melissa. It's, like, basically using this ability to retrieve this information. I love looking for haunted locations, and I'm very good. Over the last, like, 23 investigations, we've gotten so much traction lately, being featured on news and television now, and growing so quickly. And obviously, this all from my knowledge of the historical locations. I love finding locations where nobody has ever investigated, besides the usual Pennhurst's and the Eastern State Penitentiaries. I try to find locations that are untapped. And obviously, as a expert in haunted locations, I always constantly know, I always contact the location, say, hey, can we come here? And a lot of times we'll also get emails from our website, and people will say, hey, I saw you on this thing. Would you be interested in bring your team here for an investigation? So it's great to know that we have so many opportunities to investigate so many cool locations. And each place that we've had left a mark on us as paranormal investigators. Mm-hmm. And Rick and Melissa can both tell you that each place holds this very special moment of our history. And we're going to continue to build this and expand out to more and more states as we get bigger.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with the Phantom Detectives. For more information, visit their website at phantomdetectives.org or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything right there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
On my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.